Bite into a stack sandwich made with Hero Bread, and the only thing you'll think is delicious. You won't think it has up to 19 grams of protein, 11 to 32 grams of fiber, or just 0 to 5 grams net carbs. But it does. Hero Bread. No compromises. Just loaves, buns, tortillas, bagels, and noodles packed with flavor. Right now, get 10% off at hero.co with code IHEART. That's hero.co, code IHEART. All figures per serving of Hero Bread see nutrition facts on hero.co.
Hey, everybody, this is a members preview for today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing and you're listening on YouTube, go ahead and hit the join button or the link in the description to become a member on YouTube. And if you're listening to this on the podcast feed, go ahead and become a member at theconfessionalspodcast.com/join, and you can hear the whole episode today. Hey, everyone, before we get to this week's show, I want to let you know there are two live events I'll be at coming up very, very soon. July 27th, the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. I am hosting a roundtable discussion on stage. If you want to see that roundtable discussion and be part of the environment, you want to be at the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference on July 27th. Also, in Charlotte on August 1st, I'll be on a discussion panel talking about what it takes to create content and media in today's world at the Armed Media Conference in Charlotte, North Carolina on August 1st. You can get tickets to both those events. Links are in the description of this episode. And lastly, go ahead and check out Free the Rabbits' new podcast on Merkle Media. That's Free the Rabbits, hosted by Joel Thomas. Go ahead, hit subscribe on YouTube, your podcast playing apps, and give it a listen.
Merkle Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blow his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over, and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush, and I touch air. Couldn't breathe, and I couldn't move, because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Welcome to the show, everybody listening to the Confessionals Podcast. I'm your host, Tony Merkle. Thanks for being here. If you have a crazy, wild experience you want to share with me on the show, go ahead and shoot me an email. My email address is contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. That's contact@theconfessionalspodcast.com. Or go to the website, theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach me that way as well. Either works for me, just get a hold of me. If you want these sick threads I'm wearing right now, just go to merkmerch.com. That is the Merkle Media apparel line. You can get all the merch right there at merkmerch.com. Also, go ahead and check out merklefilms.com for all the documentaries we produced. You can check it out right there and stream on demand at merklefilms.com. All right, today we have Christos coming on the show today, and he is from Greece, and we had a great conversation. He comes on the show today to talk about the different creatures that he's encountered on the island that he lives in Greece. This is an area that's very mysterious. Lots of strange things happen. And also, there's a lot of people who encountered these things with him. And the last experience he had was one trippy night. Multiple encounters with different creatures, things that you can't even fathom. Things coming in from the water to the beach on them. It was a crazy night, and it really makes you wonder if the things of Greek mythology aren't really mythology. We're going to talk about it today with Christos right now. All right, today we got Christos on the show. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Tony. How are you?
I'm good. So, listen, man, you're over there in Greece. I've never talked to anybody on the show that's from Greece. I don't think I've ever talked to anybody from Greece. So, this is exciting for me. And let me ask you a question, though. We were looking at the map here a little bit because I was looking to try to find where exactly you are. You're on an island, which is awesome. Island life. But I'm looking at Greece, and I want to know, first of all, I want to know two things, two random things. One, how did you find the show? Did you just stumble across it or what? But also, answer this part first. In Greece, is there a difference between today's language and what the Greek language would have been in like biblical times that the New Testament was written with? Is there a difference in the language, or is it certainly, the same, or is it
the okay. modern Greek? I think is a lot more simplified. But once you get into regional dialects, for example, the village I grew up in, my hometown, let's say, all the elder people speak in a local dialect that's different to the next village over. And those local dialects, if you actually study them, if you get a philosopher, let's say, not philosopher, a philologist to study the language, you would find crazy similarities with a more ancient Greek.
That's interesting. That is interesting.
It is. It's strange.
That's the question I couldn't remember when you and I were just getting ready to start recording. I can't remember what I was going to ask. That's what I was going to ask you because it's a question that I always wonder, you know, like when it comes to, because I know when it comes to Hebrew, there's a difference, but I didn't know if there's a difference with the language with Greece in Greek. And so that's good to know.
And definitely there was, for the higher class, a dialect that used to be used and taught in schools when there wasn't a wide access to schools, maybe 60, 70 years ago. And that was also closer to ancient Greek, but still a more simplified version, let's say.
That's understood. I mean, even here in the States, I mean, we hear recordings from, you know, the 1950s, a radio broadcaster talking, and they talked different. They sounded different. They actually used words and sentences different than the way we do now. Everything's been, like you said, simplified. That's a great way to put it. Like, I think in general, you shortcut with the language as time goes on. It just becomes much more simplified and not as beautiful. So
I suppose, although I do wonder if it's cyclical or natural in some way, as in if these conditions will bring forward a new type of language or dialect that will be more expressive with today's ideas that we're trying to pass on. I don't know if that makes much sense, but you know what I mean? Like, maybe there will be some natural update to widely used languages that will end up regaining some complexity that might be lost.
That'd be a beautiful thing. We'll see what happens. So let me ask you a question about this whole thing. First of all, I guess, how did you find the show? I'm curious as to how somebody in Greece finds the show.
I don't know what to tell you. It was I think coincidental, maybe because I used to look at some creepypastas and such when I was younger, and I still have the same YouTube account. The algorithm threw something out, but I really cannot say. It was just recommended to me one day, and I clicked on, and I happened to be very close to some experiences I've had, and the people you had on at the time were strangely relatable things that they were talking about. So I kept watching, and I thought one day, you know, why not? Let's send a message, see what happens.
Well, I appreciate you did. And I was kind of hoping there was like a story like, well, I was driving my car and I heard on the radio, somebody mentioned about this podcast in America, but no, it's just a random find.
So. Hey, you know, maybe like if I'm the first, you know, slowly, slowly, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right, let's get into your story, man. So you have a few things here, and in your email, I see the first experience and the last. You listed three, or I guess like three categories essentially. But the first and the last seem to be these creatures that you've run into to a certain extent. I'll just call them creatures. I don't know if you would call them creatures. And then, you know, the middle one is, it seems like more lights and UFO maybe or something like that. So let's just get into this. The first occurrence, talk to us about this, man. Like, what were you doing and what happened? I know you had multiple people experience this.
So, yeah, that's the strange part that's left me questioning things a little bit. And also, I was left many times with a question of what would happen if there were even more people around. Would they corroborate? Is that the correct word? My story? Would everyone agree if it was just, instead of four, there was 10 people, you know? But not to waste your time. The first occurrence I referred to took place right after I returned from university. I was studying in Scotland, in Edinburgh. I was doing a marine biology course. And I had just gotten back, and there was one more Greek guy in the biology department that we became great friends with. And he surprise visited me with some tickets to a festival in the middle of nowhere. And I thought, you know, I was 20, 21 years old. I thought, if I don't go, I'm going to regret it. So I quit both my jobs at the time. And went off to an adventure for a couple of weeks. And we ended up on this river in the middle of nowhere, absolute middle of nowhere. To get there, you had to get a 3-hour bus from the nearest city to a little town on a mountain with maybe 500 residents. And you'd have to get private transport from that town to where the actual festival was taking place. And the festival organizers, let's say, were childhood friends with this friend of mine. So we went early, we helped clear out places for the tents, we got to meet everyone that was working there, and we were actually staying with the workers in the festival, not the visitors, let's say. And on one of those nights, it was me and two women, both mothers, both absolutely not the kind of people to party, you know, not drinking, not taking any substances, drinking coffee and smoking roll-up cigarettes, you know. That's a very typical Greek behavior. And we were sitting in our campsite, which was not too isolated from other campsites, but still apart from everything, because it was with the staff that wanted to rest. They didn't want to be close to the party. And I'm not going to lie, that night I was not completely sober. I had been drinking, but I was not to any degree incapable of interpreting my surroundings. I was completely able to function and interact, and I knew what was happening, you know? And we had some dogs in this campsite that started going crazy out of nowhere. This giant Labrador and this pit bull. And they were both pulling on their chains towards the same corner of the campsite, let's say. And you could hear something heavy moving. You could hear things actually crunching under a significant amount of weight, not human weight, but have you ever heard a tortoise moving through brush? Do you have tortoises there?
Yes, I don't think I've ever heard it moving through brush, but I imagine it'd be slow.
It is, and you can hear it bending things as it walks and kind of moving the brush around, you know? And the two ladies that were there, they both got a bit scared, so it fell to me to go check it out with a big flashlight. And I went to the source of the noise and I squatted down over where I could hear the noise coming from. And I was pointing this big flashlight at that spot, and all I could see was grass about this tall, just wild different types of grass, no movement, nothing. But I could hear the movement. I could hear that something was moving with weight. And I thought, you know, it could be a hedgehog, it could be a tortoise, it could be a snake, it could be a million things. I'm not poking around. I'm drunk. I'm on a buzz. Like, I don't want to mess around and find out. So I went back to the, closer to the camp center, let's say, and sat on my hammock. And the moment I sat down, the dog started going insane. Absolutely insane, like snarling, not even barking. And we all look where the noise is coming from. And I really don't know how to describe it, because I would say it was a physical animal, you know? Like, but it was, the shape of it was nothing that my brain even had a reference point for. I couldn't interpret where the head was, where the tail was, what was happening. And neither could the two ladies that ended up on a picnic table with big flashlights pointed at the thing. And this thing walked underneath my hammock. I was, for the second time, maybe a foot, my face away from it, with multiple flashlights on it. And all I could make out was some kind of hair on the main body, about this size. I don't know, like less than a foot long, and arachnoid legs, multiple sets of, or cricket or arachnid-like legs. And this thing had weight behind it. And you could hear it moving, which makes me imagine it was very heavy for its size, but I cannot tell. So this thing crossed our campsite and left through the other side while the dogs were going insane. And till this day, I have no visual reference point. I've been on Google. I've been on certain taxonomical websites, I think they're called, where they help you find different species based on characteristics. You know, I've had no luck so far. And both of the other ladies that were there had the same experience. They said they saw the legs, they saw some kind of maybe spider-like hair, but this thing was not a spider. It was not an animal that we had a reference point for in our memories.
So it, you're saying it wasn't a spider, but it had similar features?
Yes. You know how maybe the back legs of a cricket have a sharp bend to them? All the legs were like that, and it had multiple sets of legs. Spiders have 8 sets. Sometimes you don't see the front pair because they're small. They've become almost appendage-like to help with the feeding, but this was not a spider. I really don't know how else to describe it. My mind has no reference point for it, you know? It reminded me, viewing that thing reminded me of when I was much younger. I saw a meteorite burn up in the atmosphere and came quite low orbit. We were on the beach with my family and friends, you know, cooking, having a big fire. And we thought a plane might be crashing, but the light kept intensifying. And then the meteorite exploded and the parts of it subsequently exploded. And I remember thinking consciously that, wow, I have no visual reference point for what I just saw. I can almost only remember seeing it, but not the actual visual. And I have this similar effect with that, I suppose, animal that I saw. That my brain has no visual reference point for that thing. I cannot digest it in my memory.
You know, I'm looking around online trying to see anything when it comes to, because this is really, I find this really interesting. I mean, where you live, where you're from is like rich in, you know, the Greek mythology and, you know, these ancient gods and these ancient creatures and, you know, the three-headed dogs and this and that.
My friend, you have no idea. My grandfather is absolutely obsessed with history and mythology. And I could go on the subject for hours and hours.
Well, I mean, do you feel like there could be something to tie into with your experience where like maybe what you encountered is almost like a leftover, like a remnant of what these ancient lores
There could be with this first experience specifically. I had the sense that it was more a biological, more something akin to a natural nature, let's say, to normal nature, what we would expect. But perhaps because this took place on the mainland, I'm telling you, in the middle of absolute nowhere, there is a possibility that it could have been an insect or a type of arthropod, let's say, that we just don't know it exists here, you know? It could be something that has already been found in some crazy tropical environment, but here it's that rare. But there's a rich history in Greece and in mythology and in actual historical records of insane wildlife, from lions to elephants to all sorts of things in the history of Greece, you know? So maybe it's something that was once known about, but has subsequently been forgotten. However, now, the rest of the experiences, I'm sorry to interrupt, you could make a case that there is something in the way that you said, maybe related to interpretations of mythology, but sorry, take it.
Yeah, no, this one I find interesting because I think that there's, you know, sometimes I think from the past, the information we have from the past, you know, nowadays they'll call it, you know, oh, that's not real. It was just a legend that, you know, whatever. But I think there's truth to these kind of things. And I just looked up, and you, with your grandfather being who he is, maybe you have heard this before. I don't even know how to pronounce it, but it's the daughter of Idmon. The name is Arachne. It's like a goddess. Yes, and it says here she was a weaver who acquired such skill in her art that she ventured to challenge Athena. And down here it says she herself was changed into a spider. So I mean, I don't know. There's some similarities there. I love this stuff. Like I love hearing, you know.
There are so many accounts of jealous or prideful gods turning humans into animals or hybrids thereof.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you like what you heard and you want to hear more of it, go to theconfessionalspodcast.com. Become a member if you're listening on the podcast feed. And if you're watching on YouTube, go ahead and click the join button or the link in the description, and you can become a member today on YouTube and get this show.